And welcome back to another exciting episode of Extra Feature Interviews. And I have not one, but two. One is only a writer, and that's BJ Starks, but he also co-directs with another guy named Eric Hutchison. I'm going to screw it up. Doesn't matter. Welcome to the show either way. The film is New Fear's Eve.
That's right.
So whose idea was this first? I'm guessing it's PJ because he's a writer and he's wearing a Jason shirt in the video, which you can check out on YouTube. So where did this idea come from?
It came from as simple as just coming up with the title.
Okay.
I guess my ADHD brain, I'm constantly getting weird inspiration from all over the place. And I was just driving one day and the title popped into my head. I didn't have a story or didn't know what the movie would be about, but we were filming a different movie at the time called 13 Slaves Till Christmas. And as usual, I go to Eric and I'm like, hey, I've got this great idea for this movie. And he's like, oh my God, can we not finish the movie we're currently working on? So, of course, I keep playing around with the idea in my head, put it on the shelf after I kind of come up with a basic concept. And then that's the genesis of where it came from. It just,
that's
the
great.
title popped into my head. I didn't know what the story was, where it would go, anything like that.
So, Eric, after you finished the script, did you realize how much kills he has put in this thing?
Well, to be honest with you, when I read the script, the kills weren't a surprise to me. I'm used to that with us. This was supposed to be more of a ambiance slasher thriller killer blood gore, and that was the next level we were going to with this. And then he handed me a script, and I read it, and I'm like, I don't know if we can cuss on here. I'm like, what the
go ahead?
What the fuck is this? And I called him, and I'm like, dude, this is a freaking comedy. I thought you were writing a horror movie. What's going on here? I didn't dislike it. It just threw me off because he really didn't give me a heads up. And I read it and I'm like, dude, this is not at all what I expected. But I mean, the kills weren't that many in the beginning when I read the script either. A lot of that was added on due to the crowdfunding that happened through the Indiegogo with people being in scenes with Dave and Felicita getting killed in the film. So a lot of those got added, and we had to have a meeting and cut that off because it was getting too many. Coming up with kills and then finding the time to do them became an issue, so we had to cut it off.
Hold on, I want to go back to this. So this is an Indiegogo film, which I'm sure I missed that in my writing you sent me. So people could pay how much money to be killed?
It was $500.
Right. And then what was it to be in the scene with Dave and Felicita?
Yeah, I mean,
yeah,
I think it was like $250 to be in a scene with Felicita, to be in a scene with Dave. That really wasn't the being the scene stuff wasn't necessarily an issue. With the kills became an issue because in the original initial final draft, there was only 19 kills in the movie. But then, and I think it may have been Dave who came up with the idea, hey, you should open up the option to allow people to come in to get killed in the film. Now, they didn't get to choose how they died, but they could get the option of being killed in the movie. So we did 500 thinking maybe a few, if any, would actually get it. By the time we hit 23 people picking up that perk, we decided we have to cut it off. And part of that became it. I love gore and kills and creative, inventive, elaborate ways of dispatching victims. But it was getting to a point where I was struggling to come up with ways to organically inject more murder into the movie where it made sense. Because that's the one thing I hate when you have to force something into a film based off the crowdfunding thing. Like if you can create a perk that enhances the movie through additional funding but doesn't affect the film or the experience for the viewers, that's why I hate the whole paid act in the movie thing, because when you do that, you open the door for anybody, including people that are terrible, to come in and be in the film, and all that does is hurt the movie. Like it's great that you get additional funding, but what's the point if it's just going to hurt your film because it lessens or cheapens the experience for people watching it? So we didn't do anything like you could be in a scene with, but it wasn't necessarily that you were acting, you were just a part of the scene. So it didn't really give anybody a role per se. But we did take that extra step. It was like everybody who did get to be in a scene with Dave and Felissa, it was that big conference room scene. So everybody that was in that scene, it was like, we had polos made for them. They got a name badge that had their picture on it, and they were given a character name and stuff like that. So there was all these little nuances that helped make it more special for them, and it enhanced their experience without actually affecting the film, I would say negatively or even positively. The only real full positive benefit was the fact that, we were able to help get the film funded through their support.
Okay, Eric, PJ talks a lot, so we're going to give you all the questions to start, and then you
Yes,
can
he.
pick them
All
up.
right. Yes, he does.
Which is fine. I love it, but I don't want to forget you. So, do you guys are co-directing the film? I understand that. Who is really in charge? Is it you or PJ, or is it a really cooperative?
With the directing part of it?
Yeah, so the writing, obviously, PJ's written the script. You can't
Right,
really
right.
fix that.
Yeah, so on the directing side part of it, PJ didn't wanted to step away from directing. We are both trying to delegate more stuff out to other people, and because PJ does the editing as well, I do a lot of all the paperwork and the business behind the scenes stuff is where a lot of my stuff comes in. I mean, I have written and I have directed like a short for 13 Slaves, but he's like, well, go ahead and direct. And I was hesitant at first, and I thought, well, I need to step up, put my big boy pants on, and do this. And it started becoming an issue because I had no storyboard, even though I knew the script. I'd never fully done a directed an entire feature. I'd only done a small short, which PJ actually helped me with. He should have got co-director on that because it was the first time I did it. But it just started becoming a problem when people were coming up and like asking me questions, and like PJ would walk away to go do something else. And I really didn't have a shot list, I didn't have a storyboard. And I just knew in the back of my mind, and I've worked with PJ enough, and it's nothing against PJ. That PJ wrote it. Like you said, it's PJ's baby. He knows how he wants it to look, he knows what shot and I don't know that. So it started to become a point where I was like, look, man, I was like, I'm not sure what you're going to want here. I don't want to miss something. And then people started coming to PJ and going, man, who's directing this? You or him? One minute you're calling action, and one minute I'm calling action. And it started to become an issue. So PJ and I talked one day and we decided to co-direct. So it didn't really get split up this way, but with the action parts of it and more of the special effects, PJ knew how he wanted it. So basically I more worked with dialogue and the actors. With this being our first feature, we actually had time, we're able to this time get together and actually do rehearsing with the actors. So I was pretty well involved in that. Now I'm not saying more than PJ, but I kind of set it up. We kind of did that, something we've never been able to do before. So I kind of took control of most of just the dialogue and the actors and stuff like that, where special effects and special shots that he wanted, action, he did. And it seemed to work a lot smoother.
Okay, so you would do like the boardroom scene. That would be you, is what I'm understanding. And PJ
In a sense, he knew what shots he wanted and how he set that up. That I want to say that scene right there was him.
Okay, I am listening to you, so I'm getting a little confused. PJ, at the beginning of the film, there's a lot of kills happening. That's you or is that Eric?
That's him.
So that was me. There was, like Eric had said, there was originally I had little to no desire to direct. I wanted to just produce because I feel like that's become my sweet spot. And I wanted him to be able to have that opportunity to really like step up and take charge. And it wasn't that he wasn't doing that. But it was a situation where when we were on set, I was there as a producer writer and he was deferring certain things to me. And yeah, like you said, it was confusing some of the actors. So when I came on as director, basically what we did was is we worked together because we would have certain ideas for the way scenes should go down. And then we would kind of come together as to how we thought it would work best. Now,
Okay.
obviously, there were certain scenes in the film because I had written it that were written based off real life scenarios.
I'm
So I
getting there.
knew a certain way that they needed to be done. So then some of those scenes, which were dialogue driven, I would step in and say, okay, well, this scene, I would work with the actors. And then there were other scenes where I would step back when it was dialogue driven, and Eric would take control and work with the actors and stuff like that. With the special effects stuff, I did do a majority of that is because I'm very much a visual person. So I worked very closely with Alex, who was our
Okay.
director of photography, because I knew exactly how they needed to be shot in order to pull off the effects more effectively. Now that's not to say that Alex didn't shoot the film. Like I wasn't telling him how to shoot the film nonstop, but there were certain shots and things that I, in my head, the way I saw it, because you know I like to Michael Bay a lot of stuff, so I like a lot of movement and things of that nature. But so really, as far as Eric and I co-directing, it was really a lot of crossover because there were even certain moments when we're doing special effects scenes where Eric would jump in and say, "Hey, what about this?" Or, "Hey, look at this angle right here. Like, this looks really cool. I don't know if you've seen this." And then we're like, "Oh shit, yeah, that does look really good." So the co-directing part really just was the two of us working together to try to pull out the best performances, the best shots. And even though we kind of went in specifically where it was like, "Okay, you're going to try to work specifically with action scenes and special effects, and I'm going to work more with just the dialogue driven stuff." Even that didn't 100% work out because there was so much crossover with us working together that it really was like we have our hand in pretty much every scene to some degree and in certain points.
Perfect. Okay, let's get more into the film now. I think I got it, what I was going for. Okay, the costume of the killer. Was that whose idea was that? Where did it come from? How did you put it together?
So it was my idea. It came from when I wrote the script. The pandemic was towards the tail end, but it was still in effect. And plague doctors were everywhere. And I'm a true crime fanatic, so I love Jack the Ripper. And I thought, what's more iconic than the silhouette of Jack the Ripper? So marrying the two ideas together of a plague doctor and Jack the Ripper, you get the doctor. And then just not by happenstance, but by design, you now get his MO. So he kills people using medical instrumentation. So then right there, he has his way of dispatching victims. And then the look came out of Eric got with a friend of ours named BJ Emick. BJ talked to me, and then Eric threw his two cents in on certain aspects. BJ illustrated the doctor. And then from the illustration, we found a mask maker who then made the mask specifically for the movie. And
Hold
then
on.
we worked.
Where do you find a mask maker on Facebook Marketplace? Like, where do you find that? Like, I've never met somebody. Hey, I make masks on the side. So help me out a bit more. Where did you find a mask maker?
I have a friend named Ashley that I went to school with, and now she like her and her husband have this business where they custom make stuff,
Okay.
like merchandise, like tumblers and things of that nature. Well, her brother Sean, who he lives in, is it Louisville, Eric?
Yes, he lives in Louisville, Sean. Yes.
Okay, so her brother Sean is a mask maker. So when I was talking to Ashley, she was like, what happened was is we put out like a call for mask makers.
Right, I could see that, but
And that's how, and so we ended up getting like three or four people who were
oh.
optioning the ability to make the mask for the doctor. So what we did was, is we got with all of them and we said, okay, do a mock-up, just like a basic what you would consider like, because we didn't have the full illustration in the mask made yet, or to what it would look like. So we were like, give us some kind of mock-up. And that way, that was our way of saying, we know you have the capability to do it. And then they did. So these mask makers all took their time to like create a mask, sent it to us, and then we picked the mask maker who made the mask we liked the best. And then by then, we had the actual illustration for the mask finished. We said, okay, you got the job. We sent the illustration to Sean, and then Sean made the mask based off of the drawings. And when we sent the drawings to him, BJ actually did like a full 360 view of the mask. So you saw all sides of the mask in order. So when he made it, he would have all the aspects of what it should look like.
No, that should have been your Indiegogo thing for the next one. Like, sign masks. It's kind of cool. So, I mean, stuff like that. Okay. So, how many masks were made, and how long did it take to make them?
What are we getting 3 months, PJ, is what it was? 3 months, and there
Yeah,
was four of them.
probably. Yeah. There were four masks made. We had two
And
hero masks and two stunt masks.
I think it
Okay.
ended up being a 3 month is what he gave us as a turnaround. And he showed us stuff along the way that we approved. And then once we kind of approved what he was doing, he would show us different styles. Like one, he was doing smaller, skinnier straps, some wider straps, the way he was doing some things. And then we approved. And then next thing we know, we saw the final product and we were like, there you go. That's
That's
it.
excellent. Okay, I want to go over a couple locations: house location, office location, and bar location. I mean, I know there are a few more, but those are the big ones. So, whose house?
Whose house?
Yes.
Or
Which house scene, A?
oh, whichever house scene you want. I mean, I know there's a couple, but there's no house? Did I get it wrong?
Yeah, it's I'm trying to think.
Now,
I
if
don't
you
think they're
right at the beginning, okay, don't
now
worry
if
about it.
so if you're talking about like so if you're talking about like the opening shots where everybody's
Yes.
getting killed, a lot of
Yeah.
those locations,
Oh, Shauna.
yeah, it was so Shauna Fields, who's our she
That's
was our
right.
wardrobe, huh?
I was saying, yeah, that's right. That threw me off
Oh,
too.
okay.
Yeah.
Yeah,
Yeah.
so
So,
yeah, a lot of those shots, like the kitchen shot, the
yes.
Living room where the face gets
Yes.
ripped off,
Okay,
that
good.
stuff.
So I'm
Okay,
not.
okay, okay.
Okay. I'm like, I'm like, am I wrong?
Well,
Was it an apartment?
I think what threw us off was you said houses and then. It is
Oh.
the only the opening scene is the only house in the film.
Sometimes there's more than one house, so I just like to put a preference. Right.
But then there's the garage scene with the mom and the daughter, which is the same house.
Okay. See, I
Yeah.
don't
So
know
that
that.
is that's where that yeah. So yeah, we're on board. But
Okay.
that was the only house we utilized.
Okay. Now the office. Is it the same office the whole time? Because I mean, you have the boardroom scene, and you use, I think, everything in this office. Like every location
Yeah,
you could
yes,
use, you've
yeah.
used it. Now, whose office is it, or did you rent one?
Actually, it is a office building not far from where I live. It is there. It's a two part. About two thirds of it is Kelly. God, about said Kelly Wilmore,
Keller Williams.
Keller Williams, and Storm. And the other like third is Storm Insurance. We had the full ride of anything we wanted outside inside for the Keller Williams part, but on the Storm Insurance side, they only wanted us in the hallway due to kind of like HIPAA laws. They were afraid we were going to see people's information, people's names, and stuff like that. So they restricted us to the hallway, and we only did a couple of scenes actually really in the hallway.
Is that when my favorite person gets taken out in that hallway?
Maybe. I
I
think
think it is. I think my favorite person in the movie, which I was upset you took out, was in that hallway. The bar location. Did you spend a little bit of time there?
yeah, that was the pub in Owensboro. It's still there, it's still operating. And we ended up filming there 3 times, PJ, I think. We had to go back.
No, well, we only
Well, we
filmed
filmed
in
outside
there.
though too.
Yeah, we only filmed there once, but then when we filmed the big chase scene where they run across the street downtown and all that, We used that same location to film like to like oh sorry, I can't brain farting on the word, but like to where we set up, housed all of our equipment and stuff like that. Like that's what we used the location for. But actually filming in the bar, we only filmed there one day. Yeah, but real quick, I want to go back to the office because while we filmed a majority of the stuff that you see in the film all in the same office building, I would say maybe 80% was in that office. The rest of the shots at the one shot at the end of the movie where they go into like the break room, that was at the Convention and Visitors Bureau, which is a totally separate building altogether. And then the ending fight scene that takes place in what looks like a maintenance area was actually in a loading dock location on the campus of Kentucky Wesleyan College, which is the same place we filmed the emergency room, the outdoor emergency room scene, and then the all the college campus stuff. That's all the same location.
Okay, your face here, underwear made me laugh. Where'd that come from?
I mean, that was just an idea that popped into my head when I was writing the script, because like the whole misdirect is that he's been waiting to, go into work and everything, and then he gets out of the car and then realizes that he didn't have his pants on, which doesn't 100% make sense, but it's still funny,
It was funny.
So yeah, so that was where that came from. It was just
It just fit the character
Fair
perfectly.
enough. It's funny and a human. This has got to be based on some reality. It made me laugh so hard it wasn't funny. So is this
You're talking
based
about
on someone you know?
what, the underwear part?
No, it's funny and a human line. It's in the board. I think the boardroom guy, chairman, says it to the guy. It's funny and it's a human. It was just such an off pessimistic remark. It made me laugh.
To be honest, so okay, when he so Dave Sheridan played the Mr. Dugan, when he gets up and he's over there like yelling at everybody, all of that was ad lib.
Oh, it was great. I thought you wrote it. I'm like,
He,
this has to be a real scene.
everything that when he's sitting down, that was all scripted, but then when he stood up and then walked over there, the way it was written in the script was, Mr. Dugan stands up and then begins berating the room. And the whole I the reason I didn't write any dialogue is because I knew Dave was really good at like riffing and ad-libbing. So, and we had t kind of talked to him about that ahead of time. So he was just going to base the insults and the comments and stuff that he came up with, just he was going to read the room. So really when so we just let him have the floor. So when he stood up and went over there and was saying all that stuff, that was all based, that was just him coming up with things. Now, what's funny was when he makes the comment, does anybody know what we sell? What do we sell? He kept asking that, like when we were on set, he was like, what does this company make? And I'm like, I don't know. I mean, that was never determined, it was like, it's because it's not important to the script. So I never came up with any idea of what Hooper Industries actually produces. So he wasn't the only one who asked that comment, especially like when we filmed that scene at the end of the movie, because we have all those boxes that are stacked up everywhere that have the Hooper Industries logo on it. And everybody's like, oh, so everybody who'd been asking the whole time saw all that. And they're like, oh, so what's supposed to be in the boxes? And I'm like, I don't know. Whatever you think would go in the fucking boxes, that's what this company sells. Like, there's
Love
no definitive answer to this. But that was one of the reasons why Dave said that whenever in that scene, because he kept asking and there was no answer. So he threw that in there as kind of almost an in joke from behind the scenes conversations that had taken place.
When he did the ad-libbing about the shade of the coffee using the actors, and then he gets the one actor's name wrong. Nobody has ever said anything to us about that. When
Oh,
he
it's
said
funny.
Mike, when he said Michael Jordan, he, if you notice, he says Michael Jordan's Thriller.
Yes.
I asked for Beyonce, and what did I got?
Yes,
Kelly
it was
Washington.
great. It was
Yeah,
funny
hats on.
though.
Yeah, but I mean, when he said, but I don't, nobody has ever said anything in any kind of text, email, come up to his personal. Nobody has ever said he said Michael Jordan instead of Michael Jackson. Nobody.
Who cares? It was funny. I thought he
Oh
was just
yeah,
making a
no, I think
riff.
it's great. I think it's hilarious, but I would have thought somebody by now would have been, you know.
He's riffing. Like, it's funny. You're
Oh
hot
yeah.
laughing so hard at that scene. You don't care. Yeah, I want to bring to attention in this film, if people have not been aware of it, just one little concept. How is Ghostbusters not a genre film?
Okay.
I'm dying to hear you get out of this one.
I personally believe that
No.
Ghostbusters
You
is a genre
personally.
film.
Okay, perfect.
I believe it is. This is why that scene is in the movie. And by extension, I also enjoy New Fear's Evil and those movies that Hannah's character says that she thinks is hot garbage. I wrote her character that way because I knew that would be divisive for some horror fans because we've
Okay.
all had those conversations where it's the is Die Hard a Christmas movie?
Yes.
Ghostbusters,
It's got his
yes,
Christmas tree in it.
Die Hard is 100% a Christmas movie, as much as Ghostbusters is 100% a horror film. It might be
Okay.
gateway
I
to
agree.
horror, and I know it falls under the comedy genre, but it's a horror film. And that's the whole reason why she makes that argument whenever she says Ghostbusters 2 and she said not a genre film. And it's like, no, it is a genre film because he makes the counterpoint that it's got ghosts and demonic possession and other elements
Yeah.
of horror in it. It has to be a horror film. But we're always going to talk to those people who say, nope, it's not a horror film. Nope, Die Hard isn't a Christmas film. So that's why her character is that way. That's why she says those things. It's only because those people exist. That's why there's so the way the all the character all the different types of characters that are in the film, it's because those people in some form or fashion, we've all met those types of people. They all exist somewhere. We have all met
Okay.
them along the way. So
Eric.
there you
Yeah.
go.
So I'm gonna just give you questions because PJ will just jump in anyway. You had a lot of kills, over 50. I think we figured this out. How many of them went wrong?
Went wrong where we had to reshoot them, or
Yeah,
went
that's what I
wrong.
was referring to. Or you're like, nope, this doesn't work. We're gonna try something different. Because you were killing so many people in different
Yeah.
ways constantly.
Yeah, we had one of them, especially when the guy hollers, "Eric, is that you?" And then he gets his face ripped off.
Yes.
That was one we redid. And I mean, we didn't have to redo a lot. We might have reshot, you know, I did a little, but we really is. I don't think we like really X'd anything because it didn't work. If anything got X'd, it just was for time. Now we did have to, you know, do extra shots and stuff, but man, there were a couple in there I thought that could have been done a little differently. I'm not saying I disliked them. But I wish they would have come out a little differently. But I mean, PJ, we really didn't have to reshoot a whole lot. I mean,
That's
because
good.
like the
Yeah,
weekend, we.
there was only five that we did reshoot, and
Yeah, I mean, it.
the only reason we reshot them was because we wanted them to be gorier.
Oh, okay. Well, that seems pretty So
normal. And
it wasn't that we necessarily didn't like what was there originally. We were just
yeah.
like, this could have been more grotesque. So that's why we did. Now, I will say the kill where he gets the hedge trimmers into his mouth
Yeah.
and then it cuts
What?
away and then sprays the blood on the mask. We actually shot all that where the hedge trimmer rips through his face and everything, but it didn't work. It looked like a dummy head. It looked like a mask. There was no way for me to cut around it to where it would work. It was the only effect in the movie that I would say just didn't work.
Okay.
So I took those shots out entirely. So it's the only actual kill in the film where it cuts away and then you don't really see anything, and that includes the app. Well, I guess there's some aftermath shots from the FBI photographs, but as far as like in terms of seeing the kills happen, that's the only one where it cuts away and then you never really come back to it.
Okay, I know you guys, I've kept you guys a long time, so we're gonna go through these quickly. The
Okay.
firing scene based on reality.
No.
The what scene?
Firing scene. Okay, the building of the crossbow. How hard was that?
No, I think that went really smooth. I would say the only problem with that was is.
In the post-production, when we were watching the film, like we've done a million times in post to make sure we didn't miss anything, everything sounds and looks good, we noticed that both, not only the crossbow, but the arrow still had the company name on them.
I missed that.
I don't know how PJ and I missed that. I have no idea.
It
Well,
happens.
we did remove it though. We
Oh yeah, we
caught it
did
and it was.
remove it. We did. It was a time we were just, and I was like, I called him or texted him. I was like, dude, you've seen this movie more than I have, and I've watched it almost as much. How did one of us not catch this?
Well,
And
let me. This isn't anything that we've actually talked about yet, but I'll go ahead and throw it out there because this bugs the piss out of Eric. But after that final arrow shot, when it cuts back to the doctor lowering the bow,
oh yeah.
it still has the arrow with the scalpel on the
Oh,
crossbow.
yeah.
And the reason it's like that is because that's just another shot, because when we filmed the movie, we never filmed him lowering the crossbow, and I needed a cutaway shot, and we didn't have a
Yes.
cutaway shot. So I reused a different take where he raised the crossbow, and I
That's
just
fine.
reversed it. But then neither of us thought, oh, wait, shit, the arrow's still on there.
Yeah, nobody else, like I said with the other thing, has come up and go, did you know in that one scene he still has an arrow
Yeah,
on the
you have to
crossbow?
watch it
Which
two or three times. You guys know that
shocks
before.
me that that hasn't
Yeah.
happened either.
Listen, if you're good podcasters, you're taking notes at the same time. So you're kind of stopping and starting, which is what I do. So I'm
Yeah.
always taking notes. And honestly, sometimes I miss things because I'm taking notes.
Well, I'm sure there's other glaring oversights in the movie elsewhere that in the crossbow one is
Yeah.
probably minuscule.
Okay. Two last thing. Nope, one last thing, and then I'm gonna ask you the final questions. Night shoot on the main strip. Was that permit shooting or you just went for it?
No, we didn't have permits for anything.
Oh
Well,
yeah, we
and
did.
like where we're at, we don't really need permits.
Oh.
I mean, we were working directly with like the sheriff's department, with the Owensboro Police Department. So anytime we film, we always call them in advance anyway, just to let dispatch know what we're
What?
doing in case somebody calls because some masked maniac is chasing people around. And but we this was definitely one of those ask for forgiveness versus ask for permission scenarios. So we went down there on a Sunday night at 10 o'clock when we knew there'd be little to no traffic and it wouldn't be a problem and we wouldn't be getting in anybody's way, businesses and otherwise. And we just took a chance and filmed all that, and it went great. We had no problems. So yeah, no permits, no, and I mean, and you know, nobody's come after us, not yet, anyways.
Got one last question, then we'll get to the fun question. Sequel.
Maybe.
Yeah, maybe. Wink, wink.
Yeah, for sure
That
there is. Guys, this is going to do blockbusters.
is where we're at in the back of our heads right now. We want to be on set doing it right now. PJ and I have talked about the script and his idea of where this is going to go and how it's going to go, and some of the kills and some of the scenes and a couple of people that may be coming back. And this is what we want to do. That's what we're looking at. We also thought we were going to be doing Bodies of Blood 3, and we ended up doing 13 Slaves Till Christmas. But in our heads right now, sequel is where we are at. But that is also all going to depend on if somebody, like if this does well with Cineverse and they want to jump on and help us with the second one, or some investor sees this and likes it and goes, hey, I want to help you for the next film. Because this is, we went above and beyond with this film. And for us to top that, we're probably going to have to spend at least three times or better to do that for
Oh, I
what we're
can
going to
believe it.
need. So, but that's where we're at. I mean, that's what we want. That's our outlook, but that can change anytime.
On final note, I just have one comment on the film. Bring back my HR director, please. He's my favorite guy. Now you know, so now I let you in. Okay, it's time for fun questions. Your favorite film, please.
Oh man, just
Any.
one? One. You gotta come back to give me a second one. We gotta go.
If I'm gonna go horror,
I go whatever you want. You can give me Sense and Sensibility, and I'll let you have it.
man, that is a very hard question.
Santa Claus Conquers the Martians. I
Mom and
mean,
Dad, Mom and Dad Save the
I'm
World.
gonna go with From Dusk Till Dawn.
There you go.
Yeah,
I
that's a
saw that
good
in
one.
theaters. I'm old. Oh, I
Yeah.
saw it in theaters with my grandmother.
You beat me. I was by myself, probably with some friends. Eric, have a choice. You're passing.
Man, off the top of my head, I just got to say it just
Just
popped in
say
my head.
Halloween, damn it. I know that's what you want to say.
Halloween is fine. It's a fair answer.
Halloween is fine. My favorite horror movie, yes.
Perfect. Thank you. Your favorite food?
Macaroni and cheese.
Oh God, shrimp, seafood.
Okay, your favorite vacation spot, and I hope it's not Florida for PJ.
Ooh.
My favorite vacation spot I've been to is where my wife went on our honeymoon, and it doesn't really have anything to do with the honeymoon. We just both love the place. It's Sanibel Island, which is in Florida, off Fort Myers.
PJ?
I'm
In some way, I'm going to follow Eric, but I went on my first cruise the year before last for my honeymoon, and that was probably one of the coolest vacations I've ever gone on. We went to the Virgin Islands, so I would say that.
Okay, before I let you go, I need to know, tell people where to find the film and your other films.
Well, first of all, they can go to bloodmoonpictures.com, and there are links to all our films on there. They just click on the poster, and that'll take you to pretty much anywhere, and even their teaser trailers and anything about the film on there. New Fear, all of our films right now pretty much are all on Tubi. Well, New Fear's Eve isn't. Our other three are on Tubi. They're on Prime. Some of them are on Google. Of course, New Fear's Eve is a Screenbox exclusive, and I think they're still having a deal where you can get
Sorry,
on there
what
and
is
get.
Screenbox? Maybe I should ask that. Is that available in Canada?
It's actually Cineverse, their company. It's umbrellaed under them. That is like Shudder. It's like their Shudder.
Okay, we have Shudder up here. I know that.
It's a horror streaming site under Cineverse,
Okay.
Bloody Disgusting, called Screenbox.
Okay, well, people look it up. I mean, that's the best answer I can give you. I don't know if they have that.
Plex, Google TV, Prime, Fandango at Home, Roku. That's all
So
New Fear's Eve right
you'll
now.
find it, is what you're trying to tell me. If you're
Right.
looking for it, you'll find it.
And right now, New Fear's Eve is, if to our knowledge, is supposed to be all of North America, so it should be in Canada, available in Canada as well.
Well, everybody, check it out. Thank you guys for coming back and spending time
Thank
with
you
me, and
so
have a
much.
great evening.
No,
You
thank you,
too.
man. Appreciate it. Have a great one.